Chili Effect is sponsored by WallStreetWindow.com and listeners like you.
And now the most underrated voice in all media, Chuck O'Shelly.
Last day of March 2023, allegedly, according to that thing we call a calendar. Guess what? Tomorrow is what they refer to as April Fool's Day. But I got to tell you, there's a lot more Fool's Days on anybody's calendar, and they don't all happen to fall on April 1st, allegedly. I would contend that April 15th is a Fool's Day. I would contend that, February 14th is a Fool's Day. I would contend, a lot of those Hallmark holidays are Fool's Days. And do they make greeting cards for April Fools? If they don't, they should. They probably do. Any attempt to monetize any sentimentality is always in play. And hey, that might be the theme of the show today. What is it? The Friday Night Call-In Show with my co-host B. Pete. Here we go. We are live. If you're hearing us just around, real late going to the live stream, 8:35 p.m. Eastern Time, according to the digital representation of that wind-up toy called a clock that I have in front of me. Who knows if it's accurate, but if you're hearing us live around that time, you can call in and be part of this. And I have no idea where it's going. The old format is not in play. Neither is the new one. We're going to make this one up as we go along tonight, folks. B. Pete, again, with me. So we'll get to him in just a sec, see how he's doing. But first, the numbers. 319-527-5016. Now, since I am from the Northeast and I've been told I talk too fast, let's slow it down. 319-527-5016. You know what? I'm doing that so automatically, I'm not sure if I got it right. But I think I did. 319-527-5016. And oddly enough, I'm somehow a phone call is being placed to me. You know, it's a weird day for digital issues and just stuff happening. Just so you know. Anyway, here we are, Friars Day, Friday night. We are live. Please do call in. Join in and throw your thoughts into the mix any which way they happen to come. I'm going to have to shut down one of my digital devices in front of me because it's giving me problems. Anyway, none of the stuff that we're broadcasting with, thankfully. And we went live late because, quite frankly, I had trouble getting into the switchboard. So hopefully you guys utilize it after I went to all that trouble to get at it. 319-527-5016, or you can ask me to call you into the show via Skype, charles.ocelli. That is the ID I have on Skype. And that's all there is to it. Now I'm going to shut up before I get into my commentary regarding current events, which is coming up after we check in with B. Pete. How you doing, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm glad to see the end of the month and the end of the week.
Well, me too. And I'll tell you something else. Up until airtime, although I was late, but even at the proper airtime, I was just concerning myself with a pack of smokes. Now, I don't have that issue at the moment, thankfully. But at all times, I'm going to do this at the top of the show because I hate using the last words on the show, actually, for pitch into the O'Shelly effect. So let's do it at the top. Donate button is available upper right-hand corner if you're on a desktop. Otherwise, you can find it. You tap on those little three lines on your mobile device, and you'll see a button that says donate. You can do that. Any amount, it all counts. And I have a Patreon page, which is now sliding and failing, along with a couple other things, because apparently, even though I've said very little this month on air, in podcasts, etc., I found a way to disenchant people with my wonderfully charming and soothing voice. So, anyway, it is what it is. Your support counts, and it is the only way that we're going to stay on air and expand, which I also took a few moments to discuss with B. Pete before we went live, because he is an integral member of the O'Shelly family, as far as I'm concerned. He is part of this network, and those of you that had little complaints this week, you can see about how much I'm going to react to them regarding B. Pete or regarding anybody else on this network. One thing is, I don't control the hosts, the other hosts, but I do control exactly who is added or subtracted from this network. I don't tell anybody what they can and cannot say, not even my co-hosts. That's the way it rolls. And if they disagree with me, so be it, as long as they are not directly calling for people to do harm to themselves or others, and they stay within legal limits as far as our broadcast platforms go. I'm not going to knock anybody out of here. However, somebody did depart this week really fast, and I'm going to let BP have the mic for a couple of minutes straight, believe it or not. But somebody did depart from the network this week, and it is not because there was some sort of grudge or difficulty, but the Jackblood 360 show is officially not running on Ocelli.com anymore. I'm going to change the graphics sometime tonight if I can get to it, but I have some other work to do. I'm going to change the schedule and all that. He is not being scrubbed or sent down the memory hole. Jack Blood is still my brother. He just doesn't have time for the radio show right now. And it's a personal issue, and I understand it, because at certain points when you're dedicating any amount of time, and of course he was only doing one day a week, I know that, but he was also doing some other stuff on YouTube, etc., and there was a general thing he was doing. Not saying that I'm happy about it, but you know what? Sometimes you got to make choices. What do you put your time into? Do you work and support your family? Or do you do this, which for most of us doesn't pay at all or pays very little? So if you don't support somebody, they tend to go away. Yeah, long way around getting around to what I said at the top of the show. And now I don't want to plug or beg or do any of that anymore. I'm done tonight with it. We'll see how things go in the future. And yes, I am working on different funding things. We are going to have hats very soon, not just for my show, but for everybody's show that continues on the network. How about that? And they will all go to support the network. And if it's highly successful, I'd like to kick some of it to each of the hosts as well. Maybe a little something extra to the artist who did the majority of the work, because the Ocelli hat, by the way, is going to be a different design than the previous hat. So anybody who got one of the previous hats who says, oh, I thought it was a limited edition, it is, because it's going to be a different hat this time. Different design. Not telling you what it is. Maybe we'll surprise people with it. So if you had one before, you'll have one with a different design. And you'd rather have a Get Mad hat? Chris Graves show? Cool. We're going to have you covered. You'd rather have the Age of Transitions or an Uncle hat? Cool. We're going to have you covered. The Ocelli Effect t-shirts are no longer available online. Just so you know, and that was something that Aaron Franz did, but they are no longer available. That's the end of them. Limited edition. So will the hats be. Now I'm determining how that's going to work, but we're also going to have the Magic Bullets coming up and lots of ways that you can participate in keeping us going and getting something in return for that, outside of the fact that we put out, you know, hundreds of podcasts a year. We put out plenty of other material, extra stuff on video, etc. Quite honestly, Chris Graves has become like a one-man printing machine when it comes to podcasting and other content. He's part of us. He does stuff outside of the network and with the network. So you're getting plenty of content, even if you're donating and not getting a goodie. But we're going to try and add more goodies to the mix. So now that I've covered all that at the top of the show, B. Pete, I cut you off rudely, and I want to shut up and just let you express yourself tonight before we start getting to callers. How's that sound to you?
It sounds good, but you've piqued my interest now. I've got to hear about these complaints you had during the week about B. Pete.
The B. Pete complaints were actually small. It's just you're here. That's why I bring it up. Very, very small. I let you and the guys run on way too much. Regarding very typical and mundane conversation that's, very much like we could have heard this on some poor man's Fox News network somewhere about how Americans don't appreciate where they live. And after all, I've been outside of the country. And really, I had a couple of back and forths and gave up on it. I don't give a crap. This is your, when you're given space to express yourself, you do. Whether I like it or not, not the issue. Hopefully the listeners get something out of it. They usually do. So, you know what? It is what it is. They also bitch and complain about everything I say, which is a funny thing. I got people that listen to me and pay attention to more of what I say when they can't stand me than those that like me sometimes. Maybe that's just my issue. But anyway, I don't care. Tell you something weird, too. This week, again, another person from my younger years, somebody I went to school with, you know, decided to reach out to me, as they often do. You know, when they see I've got a radio show, I'm doing this or that. It's interesting because I've taken note of something. It's always either a woman I've been with, okay, which not too many of them have reached out, but a couple of them have. But it's always that, or it's a guy I knew a long time ago who also served in the military for a time and lost touch with me, lost track of me. And it's almost always exactly those two kind of people. Everybody else, nobody reaches out. Nobody wants to say, I mean, those that survived, you know, my childhood, not because of me necessarily, but just circumstantially. A lot of people I grew up with are no longer among us. Fact is that, yeah, it's usually guys that served in the military. And quite frankly, they usually end up starting out very nice. Oh, this is great. I like some of what you had to say. Then they get really angry at me at a certain point and kind of act like dicks. It's just the pattern. And this one guy I did not expect at all to even remember my name. But I remember him. He was a fair guy and whatnot. And he wound up serving. And now he's not going to give all personal details about the guy because I don't do that. But he ended up serving. He's definitely done serving and would not be eligible to serve today because he's disabled. And he's decided to go and live among freedom-loving people in, you know, one of those middle American states, let's say. Good guy overall. He's had a positive response to, I listened to a little bit of what you had to say and didn't realize you were the kind of guy who would have a radio show. Always thought of you as more of a musician and this and that. But really overall positive so far. But anyhow, yeah.
I mean, you know, I've never really looked at this, you know, at any time as being a poor man's Fox News show. But I look at it this way. You know, some Fridays we, you know, veer off in a direction with topics. You know, and if people don't like what they're hearing, all they have to do is call in, change the topic.
We'll
talk about anything that they want.
See, this is where you and I absolutely come together completely, because that's almost exactly how I responded to it. You don't want BP or me to run on for a long time about what we're saying? The answer is very simple. If you're listening live, call in. And you can add something else into the show. Now, I did.
Absolutely.
I did try and change the total chaos aspect that we had for a little while. I'd like people to be in the ballpark, but here's the truth. You really object to what you're hearing right now and you're listening live? If you bring up something completely different, you might very well pique the interest of either you or me, you know, you be Pete, me, or maybe other callers, and you could change the entire content of the show from then on out. Because none of it is scripted, none of it is actually planned. The only vague plan we have is that each of us has a portion of the opening hour, generally, to speak freely. And I've already taken up my time for this hour. Or this first segment. So that's the end of that. I decided to update you on the network and tell you Jack Blood's not going to be here anymore. But it's not because, you know, he hates me now or he's turned against me or anything like that. It's just that he doesn't have time. So I explained it, made that announcement, you know, formally. Did that and told you about stuff that's coming up. And that's what I decided to use my time for tonight. And that's that. But people complained about you because, not because this is a poor man's Fox News, but because when you start talking, it turns into that. And I said, well, the fact is that he's here, actually, and don't take this the wrong way, but you're here to have different thoughts than me. That is literally why you're my co-host on Friday night, because you're not going to think exactly as I do. I'm not looking to fight with you.
Oh, absolutely.
But that's exactly why you're here. So, you know, maybe it does sound like Fox News. Maybe every once in a while I sound like, you know, trippy dippy weather guy or whatever. I don't know. Some people think I'm left wingy. Maybe I sound like the leftist. Maybe you sound like the right winger to some people. And maybe that's only because
we
irritate
people.
Oh, I'm
sure I do come off as a right winger. Yes, I'm conservative. I'll admit it. I'm not a Republican. I'm an independent. But I'm very conservative when it comes to politics, only because our government has gotten so big that it's time we really start reining it in.
Right.
I mean, we got the IRS showing up at reporters' doors while they're testifying before Congress, leaving a note saying, we'll be back next week. I mean, you know, I'm not going to go on. Anyway.
No, listen, we got plenty of better
the diverse,
things. Yeah, we got
the
plenty
diverse
of better
aspects
things.
That we have on this show, I think, make this show unique.
Well, it's definitely
different.
We have
a group of regular callers that call in, and we hear things from the left coast, the right coast, you know, and in the middle of America. So anybody, you know, I just say to anybody, that's the great thing about this Friday night is anybody can call in. And if they're a regular listener in podcast form or archive form, they know when the show is. They know the time.
Right.
They could submit questions. Whatever they want to do.
Well, that's
the biggest
other
thing is call in or Skype.
If you wanted to drop something in, and I don't mean just a vague, you know, statement that you want me to read, but if you wanted to drop something in, not you, BP, but you, the listener, very easy. Email one of us. Message one of us. It's not like we're hidden anywhere. You can reach us on social media. You can reach out to me on the website. Very simple. And look, I have a list of things here that I think you guys should go over. I'll be more than happy to take that stuff and run with it. I mean, you know, results may vary, but, you know, whatever it is, and it doesn't have to sound like Fox News. I'd prefer that we don't sound like any of this crap, because I'm watching right now, and I plan to get to this later, if we actually cover some news tonight, which who knows if we will or won't. You never know. Fact is, I want to get to a couple of things that I'm watching happening in the media. And, you know, I've got clearly a different take on it than most people do. I got to tell you, it's kind of really predictable, and I'm just like, ho-hum, here we go again. But anyway, I want to let you go unmolested for a little bit here, okay, and speak your mind. But that's all the complaint was, is that between you and Jimmy and Nature Boy, it became the Fox News Hour for a minute. You know, and
oh,
I'm like,
dear.
So what?
God
what?
Forbid someone have to listen to something from the right for a few minutes. Jesus. You know, it's amazing how many liberal sides are thrown out there from different people. And it may be, well, what would be considered a liberal side, but they make a point that isn't on the right. You know, so if they want to compare what we say to Fox News or something like that, maybe they should let people know that there's enough of that out there. Voice wise, you're not hearing it anywhere other than Fox News.
Well, see,
you
now,
used to hear some of it on Newsmax and what News Nation. Mm-hmm. So it's a recent thing that, you know, the right wing used to stick to radio. Mm-hmm. Their big push was radio. Now they're starting to. I mean, Murdoch, when he set up Fox, it was with the intention this is going to be from the right side of the spectrum,
right.
I mean, he didn't lie about it, and that's what they've done. Now,
right.
They have kind of jumped towards the middle here, I'd say, in the last year. But compared to what you're hearing on all the other mainstream media, all the cable media, you know, you don't hear it many places, to be honest.
Well, see, now that's the way that you see the world. You and I do have different worldviews on this. Because, frankly...
Well, no, I mean, you have a lot of people out there, but all of those voices are condensed to very few outlets. Fox, Blaze TV, and radio, they still have a big push on radio.
Okay.
I mean, they've got radio locked.
Okay. That's the way you see the world. But let me offer you a couple of opposing views here. Okay? Here's the thing.
Careful now.
What is done... I know, because now I'm going to become, NPR or MSNBC?
Oh dear.
Let's be blunt. And you know, I'm not that either. I'm not a leftist, really. I'm not a leftist or a right winger, but you know, I get blamed for both. Anyhow, let's just get to it.
You ricochet between them.
I do. Okay. So, tongue fully planted in my cheek. All right. Yeah, sure. I'm a leftist. All right. Look. The thing is that the right wing, as much as they complain about it, are dominating a lot of areas of media that, you know what, unless you're paying attention, maybe you don't know about it, but the numbers don't lie. They're absolutely dominating a huge sector of the media right now.
Oh, yes, they're dominating. But if you look at the number of outlets that they're competing against, if you compare the outlets between the two, I mean, look at CNN's numbers now. They're in the tank.
Yeah, but I got to disagree.
Know, They were number one at one time.
No, I understand, but I got to disagree with you about how there's not that many outlets for right-wingers. In fact, there are way more outlets for right-wingers because what's happened is... Yeah, way more. Here's the thing.
I mean, mainstream media outlets. You think there's more conservative outlets?
By the numbers, yes, absolutely. And I can tell you that by podcast analytics, okay, and things that I'm watching in the industry, there is actually an industry for this. I know I'm barely a part of it, but it does exist.
I know, but I mean, I know they do very well in the podcast form too, but I'm talking mainstream television news, cable news.
Yeah.
Newspapers.
But if you aggregate all the numbers together, okay? First of all, newspapers, what is a newspaper anymore, right? It's a little difficult to define. That's one thing. So people that talk about, well, what about the newspapers? Well, find me one, first of all. Secondly, they do exist, true. But there are plenty of conservative outlets regarding that. They're individual, they're mostly online, this is true, but the majority of your standard press is through the online forums as well. So anyway, let's put that aside. When it comes to podcasts and the on-demand media that exists, quite frankly, by the numbers, they dwarf the left wing. I mean, it's not even like a close, you know, well, maybe there's a 60-40 split. No. They absolutely dwarf them if you take a look at the honest numbers. I mean, think about the reality of Bill O'Reilly, who is, you know, a former Fox outcast, right? Is his own thing. He's doing extremely
Bill O'Reilly
well.
I know he's doing well, and he did well on his cable program before he left Fox. Right. But a lot of his success, other than his books, come from him being on other conservative outlets, let's say.
Okay.
You know, he shows up on Glenn Beck. He shows up on Mark Levin. He shows up on the guys, Buck and Clay, that took over for Limbaugh. So a lot of – and I don't understand his popularity. I've never understood that.
What, Limbaugh or Buck and Clay or O'Reilly?
O'Reilly.
Okay, but
I've never understood his popularity.
Okay, fair enough. But I'll tell you something else that you might have not been observing is that, you know, ever since Meathead Cuomo, right, he's supposed to be Mr. Left Winger, he's over on a Christian conservative broadcaster now, which is how I would describe News Nation, right? Well,
that'd be a good description, yeah.
Okay, so... who is one of his main go-to constant companions on News Nation? Bill O'Reilly. He is a constant presence there. They do a whole thing. They got Cuomo's producer wearing his, what is it? He's got some new thing out there where it's like, I don't know, Team Normal, I think he calls it. That's what it was. I was searching for it in my head. Team Normal. Okay? Which is definitely about the conservative, you know, let's get back to defining things a certain way. Very much concerned with the culture wars, especially regarding people's identity. And, you know, are you a boy? Are you a girl? Are you gay? Are you straight? This guy.
Well, that's the thing about O'Reilly, though, is he, you know, he's very good friends with Sean Hannity. Mm-hmm. And Sean Hannity used to have his program with Alan Combs.
Right.
Bill O'Reilly's trying to do the same thing, I think, with Kumo.
Yeah, except
I think that's the shtick they're pulling.
Well, that's what they're trying to do, but it's funny because Cuomo has to do the dance to try and conform to not really totally pissing off the News Nation listeners, right? So it's a way for him to ingratiate himself with them, because at first they're going to sit there going, why are you bringing this libtard over here to our, nice, clean, conservative network? I mean, I guarantee you there was a personal reaction there. And News Nation is gaining, okay? It is picking up more cable systems, more satellite, just more coverage in general, right? So they are gaining momentum.
It surprises me because they sound like, I don't know, almost Pravda light. They sound too conservative, you know?
Well, that's weird. Pravda? Why would you go Pravda? I mean, I would think that, are you talking about modern Pravda, or are you talking about the old Soviet Pravda?
Well, the old Soviet Pravda in their clinging to an ideology that permeates everything to a point that it's, give it a rest.
Well, see, some people would say, how dare you? Comparing the right wing to the left wing. What's wrong?
No, I'm comparing a government, I'm comparing a media agency that has an ideology and clings to it in every aspect that they do. So they overdo it.
No, I totally understand. I'm just shocked to hear anybody else in the world aside from myself be able to put the actual characteristics of the rhetoric aside and recognize a modus operandi, which is true. Mm. They are clutching with every ounce of energy they can the right-wing talking points all the way through. And they're forcefully doing that, and that's clearly their agenda, totally their right to do. I'm not complaining. But that's what they're after, and it's pretty wild to have them, I hardly ever hear anybody do something like that, but it's true. You're absolutely right. I just wanted to make sure we were understanding each other here, because modern Pravda or modern Sputnik is a little different.
Because there's always been religious broadcasting, and there's always been political broadcasting, and now you're getting the mix of the two.
Yes,
And it's amazing to me, though, the popularity that it has. I mean, this country.
But that's
the voting public.
But let's
and half in this nation.
Okay, but let's move a little faster through this because I want to continue. When you look at the gain in popularity in News Nation, they've sort of come out of nowhere. You look at Newsy has now gotten knocked down because Newsy was a little more neutral. Some people would say left, but I saw them as very neutral. I kind of liked Newsy, but they've definitely lost
popularity. Now they're turning into Entertainment Tonight.
Well, see, I lost access to them because they were sort of taken out of the equations, the things that I was watching. But Newsy, to me, looked a lot more, again, I haven't watched it in about a year, but I was able to keep track of it a lot better, and it seemed a lot more neutral, like real reporting sometimes. Anyway, they're losing traction. CNN, up until just now, they're losing traction. I think MSNBC's pretty much in the toilet. But forget about those. Let's go back to the expansion and the upstarts. Because Newsmax, which you brought up, Ruddy's organization, has definitely gained a hell of a lot of steam that I can't figure out. Because, to me, they were glorified.
Well, he goes through phases, though. He went through, who was the guy, was it Jerome Corsi?
Yeah, he had him. Yeah.
Doing story. Well, see, as soon as he latched on, then they started veering off out into flat earth land, and something they're trying to come back. Ruddy's history was he was the one that was trying to, nail the Clintons.
Yeah, well, that
and then
he was
does
one
a
of them.
Turnaround when Bush is in office and goes the opposite way.
But,
and now he's trying to keep this station up, but he put too much money on Corsi and some of the fringe. He's trying to work his way back from that. Going through another phase.
Yeah, but I don't think he's totally backpedaled away. It's very interesting that you're bringing this up because, again, you would think that this was like a Breitbart situation or who was the other guy? A long time. The guy who first broke the Lewinsky story. A famous website. It was clunky and crappy all the way up to the time he died. And he absolutely kept
Drudge.
Drudge, yeah.
Drudge. Yeah, Drudge.
I mean, in 2016 or whatever, his website still looked like 1996, okay? But nonetheless, true. He definitely was there and one of the first people to show you that online you could do conservative and really, quite frankly, right-wing attack media could be done from an online forum. So, you know, because look, whether you agree with or you think Clinton did something terrible or you think it was no big deal, it doesn't matter. You can't argue with me that Drudge is not directly responsible for whipping that up into something even bigger than it ever would have been.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
and if you go, I don't know how many people ever ventured down past the stories, but, you know, he always had a massive list of links to media outlets.
Right.
So you could get everything from Pravda to the Daily Mail to the local blogger. Who was the woman that was hooked up with Lewinsky that had the, not
Linda
Goldberg.
Tripp.
Lucienne Goldberg.
Okay, right.
She became famous from Drudge.
Right, and that's the thing, though. But he was, okay, but now let's go back to Ruddy. At a certain point here, he was in swimming in the same swamps as a whole lot of other people. I mean, I'll give you the perfect example. I think I brought it up to you on this show that one day I noticed that Newsmax was suddenly available on a bunch of cable networks, and like it was like, wow, how did they get that deal done? And they were, you know, attached all over the place. So I decided to go take a look at what it is they're doing. You know what I caught them running, you know, in the wee hours of the morning, right? The Men Who Killed Kennedy, you know, the allegedly banned episodes.
Yeah.
So he's running the Judy Baker episode, the Johnson Killed Kennedy episode, just those. Yeah. Right? And I'm going,
and that was,
okay.
He did that. Let's see, Corsi joined up with him not long before that.
Right. Right.
Because Corsi used to be at, oh, crap. I can't think of the website. It was run by a, oh.
Well, he was vaguely with AJ and them over there, Prison Planet, InfoWars, you know, all that. He was with them.
This was long before that.
Yeah. What are you talking about? Gerald, the international forecaster guy, you mean, right? Or are you talking about the former military guy? The former military guy?
Joseph Farah, his website.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, but previous to that, though, he was, his media work was, with that other guy, retired, colonel or whatever, you know, the guy, it doesn't matter. The point is that he was in conspiracy land, right? Conspiracy culture land. Of course he was. I think, of course he might have even had some vague connection. I know he wasn't the originator of it, but even, he was part of the Rafael Cruz, killed Kennedy thing, right? At a certain point, unless I'm mixing him up with that other guy, who's a big old pain
Joseph
in the neck.
Joseph Parasites was WorldNet Daily.
There you go. WorldNet Daily, which was, like Weekly World News Online, pretty much. Right?
Yeah, they were big right after the Clinton Whitewater stuff, when they got huge. And that's where Corsi came from before he went over to Alex Jones.
Right. Now, here's the interesting thing about Alex Jones, which, by the way, I'm not done with Newsmax, because, again, this is just two really good examples. Now, Glenn Beck has kind of fallen back a bit as far as his strength, but he's still he's now kind of considered to be a like an old school, right, atypical broadcaster now. If you take a look at publications that focus on not just conservative media, but actually analyze the talk, like Talkers Magazine and stuff like that, you take a look at it, Glenn Beck is like a grandfather now of, like, you know, the cutting-edge right-wing media, right? He's like the old-school guy, which is funny because now you have Alex Jones, as ridiculous and clownish as he is, joining, and really, I'm going to make a weird statement here, but he's almost following the Limbaugh playbook in a really screwed-up way. See, Limbaugh started out as an independent conservative broadcaster who was effectively giving away his show. Okay? He spread his reach.
Yeah, his deal was a cut of the advertising.
Well, even then, sometimes he'd get a cut of the advertising, but somebody owned four stations or whatever, he'd give it to the low-level stations, the ones that had no audience at all. Here you go, put it on there for free along with our deal, right? So he quickly expanded all by himself a huge network. It was the EIB network, right? And I was listening to him
for the longest time, a lot of it was just AM radio. You didn't have him on FM much.
Well, tons of AM radio because, again, they were having trouble with content. And unless you had local talk radio people or you were in the music format world, you know, what did you have? Nothing. So in the afternoon, when, you know, there was a lot of drive, depending on where you were in the country, he was in a perfect spot to be on people's lunch hours, okay, all over the country. So he gave the show away to prove the success, to prove that he could make a mark with the ratings. And even then, if you got a one-point share out of the ratings, you were doing a hell of a job. So he built it off of that. But here's the other part of what he did. He's this freelance conservative commentator. He created such a feedback loop and created such a following that at a certain point it switches from him being influenced by and taking all of the right-wing talking points and just running with them to providing them, because he was kind of in opposition to the Bushes. People don't remember this, but he was kind of in opposition to the Bushes. They weren't conservative enough for Limbaugh, if you remember, right? Even when Bush Jr. came in, yes, it's good he's in there because God help us if Hillary got in there. But nonetheless, he was not conservative enough. So he started pushing back so much with such a large audience that at a certain point, I'm not exactly sure what year it happened, he switches from being a commentator on the situation to being consulted by the politicians. Yeah. And they start getting their talking points from him instead of the reverse. Now, I mean to tell you that the progression here, as crazy as this sounds, is playing out this way. Jones has gone from being the guy who needed to lick Donald Trump's boots at the behest and with the guidance of Roger Stone. Okay? He goes from that, and he's pivoting now to being the influence. People don't want to admit it. They're doing exactly the same kind of thing they did with Limbaugh. Oh, he's just with the wing nuts there on the one side of the equation. And that's all he is. And plus, he's misinformation and he's disinformation. Totally undermines a lot of the legitimate stuff that he actually put out that was atypical, that was rarefied, that was the undercovered and ignored information that was coming out from researchers, filmmakers, etc. Totally undermines it all, because now it's all rolled into this. If you're an extreme right winger, if you're part of the alt media, which again, he wasn't even part of the alt media as far as the alt right goes, because that was different, believe it or not, from the alt media at one point. It's almost impossible to discern it now. But he has now transitioned from being the guy who is on the outside to being invited in, and he's now on his way, I swear to you, watch very closely. He's going to be influential. He'll mellow himself a bit, I guarantee it. You know, pull back on some of the more extreme rhetoric. I don't think we're going to get too many more of the classic, I'll pull your arms out. Globalists, they will be defeated. This is a war for our souls. That's going to pull back a little bit. And what's going to happen is he's going to become the consultant, like the actual progressively inserting himself successor to Rush Limbaugh. I'm going to leave it at that right now. We're going to go to a break. We've got callers, and I hope that we'll have more. 319-527-5016. And in the next segment, BP's voice is going to dominate the microphone, I assure you. We got about, let's see, another 45, maybe 50 minutes left of the show. And we're done because we're going to shorten it tonight. I started late, but you can join in and change the whole equation as we go forward. And it's going to go just a little over time. Stick around. The Ocelli Effect continues after this.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
The views expressed by callers, co-hosts, or anyone else who happens to get on the air at Ocelli.com do not necessarily reflect the views of Ocelli.com or Chuck Ocelli, and we are not responsible for any stupidity which might ensue. Thank you.
For as little as $50 a month, you can buy an ad for your business, podcast, book, or any message you want heard on one or more of the Ocelli.com shows. To find out more, contact ads@Ocelli.com. That's ads@Ocelli.com. Be heard with us. Revelation through conversation. Ocelli.com. Do you like history? Real history that you were never taught in schools? Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia. By author Mike Swanson, with new documentation never seen before that'll open your eyes to events that led up to this. Why? The Vietnam War, nuclear bombs and nation building in Southeast Asia, 1945 through 1961. Get your copy today at Amazon.com. Why? The Vietnam War, by author Mike Swanson.
Revelation through conversation.
The Ocelli.com radio network.
Going to Chuck Ocelli.
Chuck Ocelli.
You are about to embark upon the great crusade. The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms on other fronts, your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened. He will fight savagely, man to man. The tide has turned. The free men of the world are marching together to victory. Good luck. And let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking.
You shall be a first.
Chuck Ocelli.
See, that was back when I still had the alternatives alternative in the intro, and I just accidentally played that when I was recovering the old files after the computer crashed. Had to do that. Oh, by the way, after this show concludes, probably about 10 minutes after it's done tonight, there will be a simulcast of the new Prisoners and a special they're doing on... I don't know the exact format, but I was invited, and I'm going to simulcast and also help them record tonight. I guess they're covering wrestling conspiracies and a few other things. I'm so certain, which, by the way, I don't know if anybody noticed the dubious absence of my discussion about the Trump indictment so far. Who knows? Maybe we'll get to that, because I have no idea what's going to happen once we start taking the calls on the line, and want to welcome all of you back and welcome anybody else who wants to join on the line. 319-527-5016. That is the number to call. And thus far, it looks like we got two callers waiting on the line, but we'll get around to everybody if you call in. So, 319-527-5016. I can take calls on Skype, but, you know, I don't necessarily need to. And we are going to end just a little after 10, so I can get right on over and start recording and simulcasting with the new Prisoners. They'll also have a video stream of it going out onto Rumble and all that. But if you just stay tuned to Ocelli.com Radio on whatever device you're listening to, there is more live content coming up tonight. So with all that in mind, I turn it over to my co-host, B. Pete, and inform him that, again, we have, let me double make sure here. But apparently we have two callers, and I recognize their numbers, so I know who they are. The first caller in order, by the way. First caller is Jimmy James, and the second one looks to be Vance. So I turn it over to you, my co-host, my brother B. Pete. What do we want to do next?
Well, let's go ahead and bring them in, and then I've got a quick little humorous story for everybody out there. I think I'll get a kick out of this.
Excellent. And I think the callers might have heard it during the break, because if you call in, you can hear what's going on behind the scenes when we go to break. Nothing is being recorded, but we're still able to talk to you on the phone lines even during the break. So, and I didn't unmute them, so they couldn't talk to us, but they could hear what we were saying and what was going on. What did they get? Well, they might have gotten the setup for that story. And they might have heard me trying to wrangle my my other co-host who's with me, the four-legged one. Buster is over here. He's on the floor, and he's chilling. So he's doing his thing, and we're going to do ours right now. So we're going to go to Jimmy James first, B. Pete?
Sure.
All
Bring
right.
On.
The man with a fan. Which, by the way, just one quick comment before I unmute Jimmy James. The complaint was not just about BP, but of course you were the focus. It was also about Jimmy James and Nature Boy adding into the conversation. Of course, all three of you having had in common the fact that you had at one time served in the military and your discussion about living abroad and this and that. I barely remember it. It was just, you know, part of the conversation, but that was the complaint. And apparently BP, the ringleader of the Fox News Hour. Anyway, that sounded Alex Jonesy, didn't it? All right, enough out of me. Enough out of me. Again, B. Pete, you tell me what to do, and this is where we're going for the rest of the time. Jimmy James, you should be live, sir.
Hello, everyone.
Jimmy James, I have not heard from your fan club recently, Jimmy James. Is there a problem among the Jimmy Jamesonites?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. So
wouldn't surprise me.
Wouldn't surprise me either. So to avoid dead air, B. Pete, I guess we should ask Jimmy James what's on his mind, right?
Yeah, we can, or we could go ahead and bring Nature Boy in, and then we can find out what's rattling around in there.
Oh, no, we got Vance on the line. I haven't heard from Nature Boy.
Vance, I'm sorry, Vance, not Nature Boy, Vance. I'm sorry.
No problem. What do you say, Jimmy James? You got something you want to bring right up, or should we also add Vance?
Well, yeah, you could. I was just going to say real quick that, go ahead, add Vance.
No, go ahead. Throw in your thing. Maybe it'll be the thing that lights the spark tonight. Go ahead.
Nah, it may not be that quick. So I just, it's okay. Bring a Vince.
Well, you know me. I aim to please. You cool with that? BP will bring advance. Oh, Buster may be objecting. No, he's not objecting. I'm just playing.
I don't know. I sound like Buster was agreeing, saying yeah.
Oh, you think that was an agreement? Okay, cool. Maybe you speak better Buster than me. So let's get to the legendary Vanarchy. How you doing, man?
How are y'all doing? I'm doing fantastic.
You're doing fantastic. You know what? You sound, right out of the gate, you sound a hell of a lot better than you did last week.
Well, got a little good news the other day, but, you know, it's still...
That's cool. Buster just agreed.
Situation, but
come on, Buster. Buster's usually I'm sorry. Buster is usually calm and quiet, but he decided to bark again when I said, you sound a lot better. So I think he's agreeing. I think Pete's right. That's an agreement bark. Buster, chill out, man. Anyway, yeah. I'm sorry. I'll mute so you can speak, man. Sorry about that.
No, me and Buster, you know, went to different schools together. So, you know,
oh, okay. That's cool. And by the way, I did not name him after Buster Murdoch, in case anybody's wondering. Just saying. Buster, the name came to me when I was looking at him play as a puppy. I said, he's Buster. I don't know why, but he's Buster. So there he is. Anyways, so what's on your mind, man? Anything in particular, or you just want to tell people that you're doing fantastic and you're feeling a bit better this week? What do you say?
No, that wasn't my intent at all. But I'd sent you a link to some stuff on the Teodros guy, the NIH guy at the WHO and stuff, and I wasn't able to find a whole lot more about it, but. At some point or whatever. That kind of, you know, just goes along with the general corruption of the government and, you know, pretenses behind it and all that. So I'm sure we'll get there eventually.
I tried to follow up on that odd statement too and didn't find much. You want to explain to people in the audience what you're talking about?
Well, the head, his name is Teodros. I can't pronounce it. You know, it's a weird Ethiopian name. Teodros is just the way I referred to him. It's like Teodros and Hananman Ziagrisios or something, you know. And,
right, I know. One of those difficult...
His second name reminds me of Ad Hominem, you know. So.
Right. Fair enough. But what was the point of why it is you sent it to me, just for people that can't see it? And maybe we'll try and drop... let me see if I can find that link. I'll drop it in the chat room at Ocelli.com. But go ahead and tell people about the piece that you found.
Well, it was interesting because this guy just recently came out with a book called Blood, Money, and Conquest or something like that. And in 2020, I think it is, the ICC, International Criminal Court, there was charges filed against him. Personally, is my understanding, for his role in crimes against humanity that were perpetrated while he was the head of the Ethiopian Ministry of Health, and then he got promoted to some other, you know, higher up position after that. It was like 2005 or something like that, where there was kind of a revolution going on, and he was part of the government's, you know, effort. It was called the Tigray is the name of the province or town or whatever it is. Anyway, he was one of the leaders and supporters of that group. And back in, during that time, right after that, they were accused by, I remember reading about it, you know, a long time ago, where there was charges in the ICC against the government. I'm assuming it was against the government at that time, as in general, about the crimes of humanity that were going on during that revolution, where the government was trying to, they wanted certain territories and those people didn't want to give them up, and so it went to normal, you know, guerrilla tactics and all that kind of stuff. And then now somebody apparently has brought charges again against him, and then ironically, in the last few months here, a couple of months, he's been on talking about that right now is a pivotal time to stop the genocide that's going on in Tigray, where he's from. So now apparently and I don't know any details on anything that's going on there necessarily, but, you know, apparently the rebels are getting the upper hand against the government or the, you know, the officials, and that's considered a genocide now. So it's just kind of ironic.
Right. And look, I mean, it's very difficult to follow these stories, considering the type of media we have. I mean, they used to cover global stuff like this very well on the BBC, in my opinion. But nowadays, it's difficult to find anybody who's informed or actually sending people to the locations, actually doing, you know, real reporting. It's kind of rare. So it's hard to get a complete handle on this whole thing, but it's a pretty wild situation. And again, not something that's being covered at all in Western media. You know anything about this, BP?
I had heard tidbits off and on, you know, over time, but didn't know the whole story.
Yeah, I'll say I still don't know the whole story, frankly, for me.
And I'll tell you what, and when he, like I said, I think one of his first major posts or whatever was as the Minister of Health, and then I think he moved up the ladder to whatever, you know, would be a minister, Prime Minister or whatever, you know, I can't remember the nomenclature, but he ended up making real good contacts to support his cause and to push this, you know, freedom movement of the Tigrayan People's Liberty Party or whatever it was called. Got real chummy with the Clinton Foundation and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So
yeah, both,
there,
right?
You go.
both the Clintons and the Gates, right?
Yeah. During like 2005, I think it was. So, you know, same list of players, you know,
right.
You know, and the using the vaccines and all that. Cause there was all kinds of stuff, you know, with his involvement in, you know, pushing vaccines and stuff on the population. And
right.
If I remember right, there was a real good blog this guy had that was going through all this stuff, and I couldn't find it. I had it bookmarked in one of my old phones, but when I come up, it's like scrubbed. It's like I can't find anything by him, even on the Wayback Machine. But anyway, it's the same players, you know, he's all connected to, was connected to Fauci and all them, you know, way back then.
Yeah, the WHO, I mean, look, when you try and track and follow this and you watch how these people rise up and, you know, in general, as all of a sudden they become authorities on the world stage, it's often interesting to figure out who it is actually promoting them or backing them, etc. I'll tell you what, the only other place I saw stuff about this was through Peter McCullough's daily newsletters. You know, Dr. McCullough is the only other one I saw covering part of this, which, you know, again, I'm thinking that we'll probably hear from, believe it or not, Richard Gage on this pretty soon, because he's gotten very intensely involved in, let's say, being an activist as far as information goes regarding the vaccination, et cetera, especially since he got, unceremoniously dismissed from his own organization regarding the architects and engineers, considering the fact that he just spoke against the vaccination during the time when he was being filmed for that Spike Lee thing, right? So, you know, because he's there to talk about Building 7 and whatnot like he always did, and yet he ends up getting bounced because of an offhand thing regarding the vaccine. Look, I'm not going to try and condense that story right here and now, but it is a thing to look at. And Peter McCullough, again, you know, is distributing his information as he sees fit and constantly keeping a serious eye on all this. So, anyway, I'm not fully prepared to go into it and dissect any of it for sure. And as you said, it's very difficult to get the full history and information and even, quite honestly, contemporaneous things that are occurring here to keep track of the events as they're happening. Not a lot of reporting being allowed to escape that region, looks like to me, Vance. What do you think?
Yeah, and even like on his wiki page, the wiki page for the guy, there, you know, and all his history, and you know, there's nothing mentioned about any kind of charges against him, or you know, any kind of, you know, allegations or anything. Which, you know, most, a lot of times those things will be there in the people's, you know, history, and you know, there'll be a little section about, you know, controversies or whatever.
Yeah, but the funny thing is. Yeah, the funny thing is, though, is that quite often people accuse others of having been charged with things, or they've been brought up on charges, and they sort of misreport it one way or another, where it's like, oh, he's been charged, but he wasn't charged. He was actually considered for indictment, you know. You got to very carefully go through this stuff, because people will present, in order to make a point, they'll present something as more serious or more advanced in the process than it actually was. In some cases, and believe me, I'm not defending anybody who's committed crimes against humanity. I'm just saying that quite often people make these accusations in order to score points, because they know the majority of people that are going to be like rattled by that headline are not going to bother to investigate it or take a look beyond the spin that they've been given, right? You know, the old adage with reading the Facebook posts or whatever, they read the headline, but they never bother to read the article. I mean, even today, you take a look at Twitter for a while with saying, hey, before you repost this, would you want to try and read the article? You know, like, I'm not saying that, you know, they need to be the thought police over there or anything. But, yeah, it would be nice if some people actually read the articles before they posted the major clickbait headline that usually is the thing that provokes them in the first place. But this is not the world in which we live anymore. Actually reading the information? What are you doing there, Grandpa? Are you crazy? You know, I know.
Yeah, and I'm just pointing out that, you know, there is a mechanism on Wikipedia and all that for people to challenge and, you know, have stuff, you know, took off if it's not supported by fact and all that, and I support that fully, but, you know, it's just pretty certain that there have been charges filed against him in the ICC, and there's nothing mentioned there. So.
Yeah, but for well over a decade, for the record, as far as trying to oppose something or get something altered on Wikipedia or get something entered into Wikipedia, here's the thing. It's actually a very small club that gets to do that, and there are some very serious gatekeepers over there. There was an article, and I'm not a serious supporter of anything Jim DiEugenio has to say, usually outside of things that are backed up very well by evidence in the Kennedy assassination or the King assassination and such. But when it comes to Jim DiEugenio's politics, I'm not with it. Got to tell you, when he's allowed certain things to be published on his website, though, regarding the real process and the real people that are running the wiki sites and are controlling that information... it was Martin somebody or other who wrote a really excellent article probably like 12 years ago. I think it was called, Will the Real Wikipedia Please Stand Up? And it was kind of a joke, but it was about, you know, look, there are people that have agendas controlling that information. It is not an objective, what would we call that? Encyclopedia for the world, as many people think it is. It is very controlled, and there are certain people that have their viewpoints that they absolutely exert on the information there. Very much spun, and you might be surprised at some of the people that spin them. Anyways, something to look at, though, for sure. B. Pete, I'm sorry, I ran my mouth again, and I got people to bring in on Skype. It looks like I've got two Skype callers to bring in, so I'm going to get to that while you... go ahead and manage the show here.
Yeah, just an update for what Van was talking about. There's a story here in the East African that says that Ethiopia has dropped charges against TPLF leaders after a peace deal. The timestamp on this is 15 hours ago. But I also saw three or four stories right there at the top. Apparently, an American TV producer... is one that filed the ICC complaint. This is dated back in 2020. Crimes against humanity and genocide against Tedros. So, you know, I don't see anything current about the current charges, not the or the current situation,
right?
What the status is.
Well, as I said, up to date information is very difficult to come by there. So,
yeah, it is. But there's a link to a site called Blood Money and Conscience. That it's a I think it's a WordPress site that has I think the ICC complaint filed against Tedros Adhanom. Yeah, and this is dated 2020. From The Hague, and it goes into detail. I can throw that link in the room if you want.
Yeah, go ahead. Anything that we've been able to, anything we've been able to dig up regarding this, any updates, even if it's old, it might be new to somebody else. Because, telling you, the information is not easy to come by. So, looks like we're going to be adding in Nature Boy here shortly, and I may have yet another add in on the Skype here. So let's try and get to him in order. Looks like Nature Boy and possibly Chris Graves. So let's see what happens here. Hopefully that happens. Looks like Nature Boy has joined us.
I'm there. Can you hear me?
There we go. There's Nature Boy. And just next, because I did them both at the same time here, Chris Graves, are you reading us loud and clear yet?
Loud and clear, buddy.
Excellent. So, BP, you now have Jimmy James, Vance, and in order, Nature Boy, then Chris Graves, all on, in on the conversation. So you're up, bud.
Oh, I'm up. Okay, I'm finishing. I'm putting in the rest of the link in the room.
That's...
So give me just a second here.
No
problem.
I'll say
hello to everybody, and I'm glad that you could meet us this week.
Hey,
we can see what's on everybody's mind.
Sure.
Or
let's
discuss some news items, or we can... you know, we can change direction, whatever you want. So let's go to Nature Boy. Have you got anything you'd like to throw on the table?
There you go.
No, not particularly. I'm just, I got some new computer toys, and I'm going through the toil of getting them set up and, you know, all the problems and stuff to go through that. And was like, yeah, I'm done with that. I think I'm just going to call on the show and crack myself a cold beer and hang out with some friends.
Sounds like a good plan to me, BP. Got to tell you. Which,
if I didn't have work in the morning, I believe I'd be cracking open a couple cold ones too.
There you go.
No, it's been a crazy week for me at work. Yeah, it's been a crazy week for me at work, so I deserved my Friday beers.
Fair enough. So, you know, before you transition over to Chris Graves, since Nature Boy said he didn't have anything in particular to drop in, just want to remind people that after I'm done with this show, with a little break in between, we'll be simulcasting The New Prisoners and the special coming up tonight, and I'll be recording it a bit. It won't be an Ocelli Effect show. It won't be an Ocelli Network show, but we will be simulcasting, and they should be, if all goes well, available on Rumble and all that stuff. But if not, you'll be able to get the audio at the very least here at Ocelli.com. So that's happening in a little bit. It just so happens Chris Graves might be involved with that, BP, or not might. Here we go, tongue-in-cheek again. Is involved with that. So, you know, maybe we should find out what's on Chris's mind. What do you think?
Sounds good.
All right. Chris, you're up.
Hey, BP, just from, this is going back ancient history earlier in the show. I hope you don't, I know you won't, and I hope you don't change your opinion. So I don't know who the hell's writing in bad letters about you or whatever that was all about, but I appreciate your input and insight. So that was pretty much all that I wanted to get across. And, yeah, that's about it.
Well, hang around me long enough, Chris. Hang around me long enough, Chris, and if you're around, people will find negative things to say about you because you're in close proximity to me. So I don't get too many negatives about you, though, I got to tell you. But
well, they're coming.
They're coming, I'm sure. who knows?
Anyway, given enough exposure.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because I annoy myself, so the odds are that I probably annoy quite a few people. And a couple people can stand me, too, I guess.
Yeah.
That's always a good thing.
Well,
I'm excited to hear what Chuck's got to say about this wrestling conspiracy show that Six from the New Prisoners has put together. He's got Billy Ray Valentine from the Infinite Fringe, America Unplugged. He's got Angry Tiger is going to be doing some announcing for us, and he's got the voice for it. And myself, which I'm hoping to get into some Andy Kaufman, Jerry Lawler type stuff. And I think that's about it. Yeah, five people, right? One, two, three, four. Yeah. So that should be really cool. Yeah, and it'll be on all those platforms that Chuck said. So
right,
that should be cool.
Yeah, it should be on Odyssey, Rumble. Let's see.
Spotify. He goes to every Apple podcast.
Yeah, but the live. Right. I'm trying to figure out, can he broadcast live on BitChute? I don't know if he can.
No, that's the only one. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the one that you can't so far.
Right. Yeah. But he's got it live on Rumble and on Odyssey, right?
Those are the two main ones. Yeah. Yeah. He used to have it on YouTube, but they yanked him because he said something about Margaret Thatcher or COVID or something.
Oh, well, you know, that happens. I mean,
seriously,
I was clearly encouraging people to harm themselves by playing clips of President Kennedy. So, you know, I mean, you got problems on YouTube sometimes. But and he was having
bullying
some
Jeffrey Epstein too.
Well, that too. I was cyberbullying a dead man.
Yeah, that one really surprised me. Bullying a dead guy. That one. That was a new one on me.
Well, if you're going to bully somebody, why not bully the dead guy? You know, I mean, I'm just saying. It kind of makes sense, you know, in their world, I suppose. But look, that's not even the point of it. It's going to be fun. And, you know, there was a couple of, like, technical gremlins, I think Six called them, earlier. So one way or another, if any of the audio fails on any of those platforms, we'll make sure everybody's got it available here. So.
Yeah. Yeah, this morning another. Was very difficult. Yeah, I'm Mr. Conspiracy, right? But it was weird. Everything was failing. Even our the email, everything was going down for some reason for a while.
Okay, so if my computer blows up tonight, I'm going to blame Six. I'm just telling you now.
Well, I'm blaming him too.
Absolutely. Okay. Because he did something, he pissed somebody off. All right, well, is there anything new you want to throw on the table before we probably got to go back around to Jimmy James? And believe it or not, we've only got about another, 20 minutes? I could probably stretch it to 25 here at most, because I want to be able to get over to that other show.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, Trump is kind of, I don't know about you, but I know we're going to be ramping up with 2024 and hearing all about that Orange Julius, so I don't really want to go down that. And the transgendered shooter thing, like, I'm all school shootered out, to be honest. But has anyone heard about the latest train derailing again that dropped a whole bunch of ethanol into the earth?
Yeah.
Yesterday, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, which one, the ethanol one or the other two that I read about?
I only know about the ethanol one. Tell me about the other two.
No, look, I don't even have all my details straight on it. All I know is that I've actively decided to take a look at what's going on with the trains, and apparently there was three derailments in the past 4 days, I think. And one of them is with this ethanol situation, which, you know, is equally as toxic as anything that's going to go on in New York City exactly. Coming up. So, you know.
Is this an epidemic now, too? Can we officially label this an epidemic?
Well, I don't know if you could call it an epidemic. Is it a recurring pattern? Is it a... I don't know, man. It's so crazy to me that this is what we're, you know, train derailments. Oh, and by the way, planes are banging into each other and things on the runways.
Well, that was the other one, too, but yeah.
You know, just by the way, all of a sudden our transportation is, you know, being run by people that probably have, you know, are acting like they have my eyesight. You know, all of a sudden, it's like as if you decided to let me be a pilot. You got problems here. They're sideswiping each other. They're banging. You know, because I have no depth perception. That's a true fact. And apparently the guys moving the planes around don't either. So, you know.
I think it's nothing more than planned chaos finally, you know, hitting the surface.
Mm. Intentional chaos being, you know, ushered in just to keep people busy.
Well, no, I mean, you take these trains, you know, these private trains have been making some pretty good money in the way that they haul freight. I mean, think about it. These trains are derailing, carrying things that you don't want spilling on your highway with a bunch of citizens in cars. So you send it by train. It's probably the safest way to do it. Unfortunately, the recent derailments that we have happened in very heavily populated areas where the norm is we have a lot of train derailments over a year across this nation when you consider the miles of track.
Right.
But they're usually in places that don't cause the damage that now they're causing because of these populated areas. So, you know, I think, you know, when you pay your, when you pay your executives millions in bonuses because of the amount of business you did and you didn't do anything about keeping your infrastructure up, you have a tendency to have accidents.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And by the way, just for the record, we don't take calls from Skype during the show. I got somebody trying to call in directly. You got to message me and I can call you into the show. Okay. So anyway, what's interesting to me is that, you know, people don't recognize exactly how much of this goes on. Not the derailments necessarily, but I don't think they recognize how much freight actually travels very quietly all over the country. A lot of dangerous material. And I do mean everything from chemicals to, you know, I've heard many a story about people literally physically getting in the way of them trying to move nuclear weapons on rails, okay? There is a lot of things being moved around that generally don't get any attention unless something goes wrong. So there's a lot of stuff being very quietly done, not just by the military and big industry, but in general, there's stuff moving around, and I wonder about that often. Look, let me not take the typical Fox position here, but, you know, do people understand the security issues at hand when it comes to this? I mean, we got to hear a lot about the freight coming in, you know, through the shipping containers, right? We got to hear a lot about that a couple of years ago and how that was a serious security concern. Well, how about these trains? If people are not, you know, keeping up with things and making sure the infrastructure doesn't crumble, we got serious problems if this continues to happen.
If you think about it,
yeah.
You know, if you think about it, all of those things out there produced by big business, the worst possible things in the world are going down railroad tracks every day, from acids to gases to weapons to munitions to explosives. It's all there, you know. And is it the safest way to move it? Who knows?
Well, generally, it is actually fairly safe, fairly stable. You don't have issues with it getting hijacked, tracked. Attracting the wrong attention, right? It seems fairly sensible.
I mean, yeah, you know, the last thing you want is 10 cars of molten sulfur, you know, to discharge in someone's backyard.
Fair enough. Jimmy James, you got any thoughts on this?
Well, I know what the government's thinking.
You do? Well, by all means, tell me, because I can't get into the mind of the government myself a lot of times. Please tell me.
Okay. You really want to know?
Yeah.
It's the most obvious damn thing in the world. They're flying planes all over the damn tracks looking for saboteurs.
Hmm. Okay.
What's the most logical explanation? Easy. Real easy.
But you think we're looking at unreported acts of terror here where they're not describing it as that and calling it an accident?
I'm not telling you anything. I'm just telling you that the government right now has has aircraft flying and monitoring all of the railroad tracks. You could draw your own conclusions. I can see it, what the problem is. You tell me, I mean... Come on, you really think the problem is they ain't keeping up with railroad tracks? Come on.
Well, when
look at the statistics, look what's going on.
Okay.
And like I said, the government's got two theories, and the saboteurs is the best of the options, and I pray to God that the other one isn't true.
Mm. Was that like the power stations being sabotaged a little while ago?
No, they are being sabotaged by environmental groups and other peoples. That's not the part that I pray to God isn't true, because it's the part that I don't even want to talk about that.
So what you're saying is because I mean, I've literally seen some of the conditions of rail in North Carolina and New Jersey. Now, the stuff up in New Jersey, as of about 10 years ago, was in pretty good shape. But some of the stuff in North Carolina, to be quite honest with you, looked like it was in pretty poor condition to me. Now, I don't think we've had a derailment in North Carolina as of late, but I would not be shocked. And matter of fact, VP is probably familiar with the part of the rail that I physically observed, having lived in a similar area in North Carolina. You know which part I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, and that track that you're talking about was recently upgraded about, let's see, I had just come back from Switzerland, so say about 2011, they went widened the corridor so that the trains could go faster through town. Mm-hmm. So they upgraded that whole stretch through there. They took out the old train depot, and I was trying to get a bid in on some of the timbers that were used in the building, but the city decided to save the bricks instead of putting them up for auction, and it just got to be a big mess.
Yeah,
but,
well,
you know, the, that section that you're looking at.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead, Jimmy. Is that Jimmy cutting in?
I think he was. Hey, Jimmy, were you trying to say something?
Sorry. Before I forget, Chris Graves, they're also sabotaging all the meat plants. You might want to look up all those articles.
Hmm. Okay, so what you're saying is we have an agenda of saboteurs in play here that are doing things like the train derailments, meat packing.
Flying planes into all the food processing plants, things like that. Is that what you're saying, Jimmy?
Well, we got Biden's own estimates that we have 20 million undocumented friends wandering about doing God only knows what. And if he says 20, it's surely 50.
Hmm. Okay. So are we being kind of attacked here in general, our infrastructure, by what, Mexican terrorists? Or
numerous groups with the same agenda.
I see.
No, they all have very, very similar... They're all down with the revolution,
don't
you know?
Okay, no, I'm trying to get my head around this because I don't know about it. So I'm saying if you're talking about undocumented, I was wondering if you were talking about the Mexicans or if we were talking about others coming in or, you know, which undocumenteds are we talking about?
Anyone who's in this country that isn't in this country legally. That's who I'm talking about, Chuck.
Okay. But what
you are an illegal alien, whoever you are, the people out there that didn't go through a port of entry,
mm-hmm.
and I hope that the next president, first thing he does is the same thing that Ike Eisenhower did, the first thing he did when he got into the presidency, which was to utilize the military, and he got rid of every illegal alien in this country for clear security issues.
I see. Who did that? I'm sorry. Who actually did that?
President Ike Eisenhower.
Hmm.
One of the very first things he did when he took office, because he's a general and he had, you know, and something in between his ears, not like the president mashed potato head there.
Hmm. But, well, just for clarity, which one is President Mashed Potato Head?
The worst president in the history of the United States, Chuck.
All right. Well, there's a few people there that could claim that title, but I was just curious. I mean, the least of which is Woodrow Wilson was a pretty bad president.
Joe Biden, from Jersey. No one holds a candle to Joe Biden.
Nobody holds a candle to Joe Biden.
Let's vote on that.
Okay. All right. No,
Biden's horrible, but George W. Bush, I will always loathe.
Well,
always.
I was just asking the question. Though. Well, I wanted to know who he was referring to. That's all. Yeah. Go ahead.
I gotta throw in a number here for in connection with what Jimmy's saying, that since the first of the year, and this is dated March 24th, since first of the year, they've nabbed 70 people on a terrorist watch list. Mm. They have a database.
Okay.
So they've already snagged that many. So if they've snagged that many, there's no telling how many have gotten through. But I'm curious to know, how big is the list?
Oh, yeah. Good luck on finding that out. I searched that out a couple of years ago when Trump was in office, and that was definitely some impossible information. Matter of fact, I think I tried to get a hold of a list like that. The actual no-fly list, I tried to get a hold of when Obama was in office. That's some difficult stuff to come by. I mean, perhaps another researcher out there could find it. I'd be more than happy to see it if they have it, a legitimate list.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to know how many are on that list, because the database apparently is based on known threats and their affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that could be a phenomenal number.
See, it's strange to me, though, to think that, you know, and Jimmy, I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm trying to wrap my mind around how it is that a whole lot of these diverse groups from various places have a similar agenda. I mean, unless you're saying that there's just a down with America, like take America down sort of general consensus among a bunch of diverse groups. Is that what you're
there
saying?
There you go.
Okay.
There you go. You nailed it. There's even that general theme on this very network by many presenters.
Really? Okay. A down with America agenda? I'm totally unaware of this. Who are we talking about? Me?
I didn't say that.
Well, I'm one of the presenters.
I said I've heard people on this network many times with that agenda.
Oh, okay. No, you said presenters, though. So, I mean, we got two presenters on the line right now, so I was just curious if it was one of us.
But in my mind, this is like, this has been the bigger kind of agenda going on for a long time. You know, Trump, the whole Make America Great Again thing is that, you know, there's this conspiracy, you know, to bring America down, and I'm to say, you know, you got to elect me to, you know, from and so then all of a sudden there's this you know, doofus of however you want to characterize him, Biden, that gets into office and does all this terrible things, and so that's just the WWE work of this whole system that's set up just to do that, to get the support for Trump now.
Hang on, you know what they want to do is outlaw. Whoa, Jimmy, hold on.
Jimmy, you would like to outlaw the Democratic Party, wouldn't you?
No, I would like to prosecute everyone in that party who's broken the law.
Me too, with all the parties.
Fair enough. Sounds good. And in fairness, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, in fairness.
Hold on, Vance.
Whoa, hold on, Jimmy.
Everything that I was going to say.
Jimmy, hold on.
My question was
gonna hold be, on, Jimmy.
Do you really believe?
Jimmy, what hold on. It? Hold on a second, Jimmy. Hold on. This is me telling you. Hold on. Okay. In fairness, Trump's latest merch really reads "Save America" and "Save America Again." No longer "Make America Great Again." It is "Save America." That is the general consensus there.
Before my question is totally irrelevant, Vance, I wanted to ask you, do you really believe that Trump and Joe Biden and these people are friends? Is that what you're honestly telling me?
Friends.
It's been demonstrated over and over, you know, what did Clinton's and Trump and Trump and Jesse Maxwell, you know, Clinton's are nice people, you know, they're good people. We did, you know, yeah, okay.
Are they?
You think?
Well, that's what Trump did say at one point.
That doesn't mean that Trump is necessarily personal friends with Biden, but you know, they're all serving the same masters, and the president don't run this.
They are.
Sorry.
Well,
I want to figure this out once and for all. So, just to be clear, the man.
You gotta go, Chuck. Have a good night, everyone.
Is all right. Trump.
Later,
and everyone really likes Trump, even though they pretend they really hate Trump. Is that about right?
I don't understand the question. I don't pretend to like Trump.
Well, I would say the a lot of the people that pretend to be the opposition to Trump actually benefit from utilizing him as a narrative mechanism in the BS that they present, that they call the news. They benefit mightily with ratings and all that, keeping you glued to like what they're doing right now.
The MSNBC and CNN have no audience because all they do is run down Trump.
But what they did...
You want to know why, right wing?
When they spent time running down Trump, though, they gained quite well. And they will gain...
their audience.
And they will gain quite well again because now they're starting, and you're watching it happen right now in real time. I guarantee you, you're going to see the ratings rise with this indictment and following it and the analysts. Right now, their ratings are on their way up. If you take a look at the segmented Arbitrons already, just from the week, you can see they're going up. Okay.
Well, yeah, Chuck. When you're starting in the toilet, you have nowhere else to go but up.
Oh, yeah, but you're going to see them increase again and take that nice prominent position where cable news, once again, becomes quite profitable.
They might even break the million barrier.
Well, it depends on how you look at their viewership because, you know, between the on-demand and the live air viewership, they're going to go back to gaining like they did when they were on Trump 24/7. Which is exactly what they're about to do. I mean, he's being allowed back onto the social media platforms so that he can lay the groundwork and do all the coming attractions. And, yeah, everybody, his alleged opposition, his supporters, everybody gains.
Let me take a quick moment just to remind Chuck. He's got another show coming up.
Yes, I do. And, in fact, I want to come around to everybody, unfortunately, and give everybody a close because I got to go and set up and record with somebody else. And we are a little over time now. But, take the next 10 minutes, if you don't mind, and kind of marshal everybody through. We still got Vance. Chris left. Nature Boy, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry. I wasn't aware if you were still there because I hadn't heard from you in a minute. Everybody was having other discussions. But wouldn't mind letting everybody speak here for a couple of minutes before we get out of here because I'm going to be done by, 12 or 13 after here. So go ahead, BP.
All right. I was going to say, you know, that's something that we could get into in another discussion next week is continue this one. Since we do have the election coming up and now we have the indictment and all that other stuff to throw in and catch everybody's attention and draw everybody's attention away from what's going on over there. This is going to be an interesting election year with what is in place already. It's going to be very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think, Nature Boy?
I really got nothing to say on elections. I mean, if they're not a local election, if they're a national election, even a state election, to me, you know, as FDR said, presidents are selected, not elected. So it's all bread and circus for the people. The power never changes, you know.
Yeah, fair enough, Nature Boy. But let me ask you, are you going to be entertained by this? I mean, between the Hunter Biden laptop and the Biden crime family, and, you know, the Trump indictments, and he's going to be the Teflon Don because he's going to slip through those. And who are you going to root for? I mean, are you going to find it entertaining at least?
Give me a lot of points to talk a lot of crap about, but that's about it.
Okay, fair enough.
Entertained, maybe entertained, but
I heard late today that they've agreed not to handcuff Donald Trump on Tuesday at his arraignment.
Oh, yeah.
That's supposedly the best thing that can happen to Trump. That's going to guarantee his ass the election if they handcuff his butt.
Oh, that's what I figure, is the more they play up this indictment and having him slip past it, it's going to just bolster. That's your president in 2024 if all things remain in place the way I see it.
Well,
hang on, Jimmy James. We're going to get to you, Jimmy.
Split it all over the world.
Dimmy, we're going to get to you. Hold on. B. Pete, who is actually next? You want to go to Jimmy next?
Vance.
You want to go to Vance next? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with Nature Boy on the Bread and Circus, and that's all it is. And yeah, Trump will probably get elected, and economy's still probably going to fail, but it'll be the other guy's fault.
Hey, we need to get a poll going, or get a pool going, on the total amount of expenditures for political ads this next coming. Everybody picks a dollar figure. We'll see who gets closest.
Love it. I love it. You know what? I already got a bet last night. I didn't put out the podcast yet, but I got a bet with Mike Swanson already that Trump will secure the nomination for the Republican Party. That's a dollar. And I got another dollar on him securing the presidency in 2024. So
really,
yeah, I got Mike to bet me last night.
Stiff wages there.
Yeah, well, you know, you gotta go with the gentleman's bet, right? So look, we heard from Vance, we heard from Nature Boy, and I say it's now time to let Jimmy James speak his mind with the last few minutes. What do you think? You let him get the final word?
Yeah, we'll let him get it.
Absolutely, Jimmy James, all on you.
Well, people can't see for their own eyes by now that elections indeed do have consequences. 3 years ago, I know my life was sure as a hell a lot different than today. Use your hats. God bless. Goodbye.
Well, you know what? Bless you, Jimmy James, as well. And we can always agree to disagree as to whether life is better 3 years ago as compared to now. Or not, or has it changed at all? We all have our own experiences and perspectives. So, B. Pete, I guess that does give you, because Jimmy James kept it short, gives you a little bit of time. No need to promote the network. We always support the idea of, though, you know, help your fellow man, help out your food banks, all that. But I'd rather you were able to drop, you know, your thoughts, because I'm sure you had a few things you wanted to get to tonight or whatever, and you didn't. But maybe you can condense it all into one little profound statement for all of us, B.P. How about that?
Well, I don't know how profound it's going to be, but, you know, this is shaping up to be an interesting year. We've got a stock market that's going, you know, floopy on everybody. We've got, and it seems like it hinges on every next little fake headline that comes out. You know, it either turns this way or it goes that way, but people have lost a lot of money here recently. You know, we're dealing with inflation that's forcing everybody to have to dig deeper and think about what they're spending their money on. And it was just a few short years ago that things were really starting to pick up. So I'm wondering just how far into the hole this current government can take us before something does change with the next election. Because I don't think Grandpa's going to run again, or if he does, you know, what I'm hearing is, yes, the Democrats want Trump to get the nomination so that Biden can run against him and win. Yeah. I don't know that that's the case, because I know there's a lot of people that don't support Trump, but there's a lot of people that do.
Mm-hmm.
So until we see who else gets in this thing and, you know, Trump starts his normal name calling and we go through this whole rigmarole again during the primaries, it's just interesting to see how this is shaping up leading into that year before the election.
Mm. No, look, definitely is in one way, in another way. I'm almost depressed, because if you're telling me that the best we can do is to put up Biden and
that's
Trump
the thing,
again,
though. I know it's not the best we can do, but Chuck, we've settled for not the best we can do now for the past, what, 30 years. You know, it's a shame that things are that bad, but, you know, think about it. We have a government right now that has proven they don't have to justify trampling anybody's rights when it comes to any aspect of their life.
True.
You know, I think we do have a government that has become very, just in the past couple of years, has become very iron-fisted, and it's only going to get worse.
Yeah.
I'm wondering how bad it's going to be before things finally start, you know, you start seeing some backlash from it.
Well, you know, I keep waiting for it, but quite honestly, all I see is that, you know what, one side of the alleged equation wants to take away your rights on one hand, and the other side wants to do it on the other. And the only argument here is, which one of your rights do they have the ability to take away? How much of your life do they have the ability to control in their own way? So until we start getting people talking about freedom and peace again, I don't know what to say, except it's a sad, sad state of affairs. Anyway, we're all done with the Ocelli Effect for tonight. Stay tuned to the Ocelli.com radio network. We're going to simulcast the new Prisoners thing that's coming up, which I am not in charge of. So there's that, but I will be a guest. And also Chris Graves and other friends. So no matter who you are, where you are, when you are, remember this, I am merely Ocelli, and all of you are indeed the effect. I want to thank everybody for calling in, listening, etc. No matter what, man, I know we can all do better.